Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhouseonline.com.au.
Well, when you become a Christian and you start to follow the teachings of Jesus, it's the beginning of a very long journey. Some of your old vices and bad habits, though, may not disappear overnight. Some of them might stick around for years and seem almost impossible to shift. If you're struggling to let go of some destructive ways of living, it could be that you're experiencing something called bondage to the past. Author Neil Anderson is in the business of helping people break free from bondage, as he's with us tonight to continue our series on the 7 steps to freedom. Tonight we're looking at step number 6, bondage versus freedom, and Neil's with us again. G'day, Neil.
Hi there.
Let's give those 7 steps again so people can get a bit of a context as where we've been and where we're going. First step is choosing between counterfeit guidance versus real biblical guidance. Number 2 was deception versus truth. Number 3, bitterness versus forgiveness. Steps 4 and 5 we covered last week, rebellion versus submission and pride versus humility. Tonight we're looking at step 6, bondage versus freedom, and next week we'll finish up with curses versus blessings. Okay, let's look at this issue of bondage, though. Why do so many of us struggle with bad habits, even being controlled by them?
Well, actually what you're dealing with more than anything else is just the flesh. And it is a struggle. The spirit wages war against the flesh. Flesh wages war against the spirit. And you can't tell the flesh to leave. The enemies are the world of the flesh and the devil. And the flesh is essentially that old nature that I had before I came to Christ. And I mentioned, I think, on the first or second week that we were talking about this, that before I came to Christ, I neither had the presence of God in my life nor the knowledge of his ways. And so we all learned to live our life independent of God. And we all did. We all learned differently because we had different homes and different choices. Mm-hmm. But when I came to Christ, nobody pushed the clear button. And so all that stuff is still there. So even though I am a new creation in Christ, I kind of, you know, feel the same way, think a lot of the same old thoughts. And you can fall right back to those old fleshly habit patterns again. One of the ways that I like to illustrate this is when you make a decision, you came to Christ, and he calls himself at one case in John, I think it is chapter 10, the door. Mm-hmm. He's the door. And I stepped through that door. I stepped out of darkness into light, into the kingdom of God's beloved Son. And ahead of you is Christ, and we're to fix our eyes on Jesus. You can just keep on walking. And the truth is, there are no obstacles there. You don't know that, probably. But as you step through that door, it's like there's a very narrow alley at first, and people are popping their heads out of windows and doors, and they're acting like pimps and prostitutes and calling you names and come on in, you want to do it, and you'll get away with it. And you can respond to that 3 different ways. One way is to just do it. I mean, you just give in to the tempting thoughts, you give in to whatever else, and even though you made that decision for Christ, you step through the door, you're stuck. You're sitting right there. That's why Jesus said, repent and believe. If there's no repentance, you're just going to sit right there. Mm-hmm. And the next guy, he's going to come along, that's not true, I'm not going to go in there, you can't make me do it, and whatever. He said, boy, he's fighting a good fight. No, actually, he's kind of losing it. He's just letting the devil set the agenda. What you should do is don't pay attention to that. Fix your eyes on Jesus and keep on walking. Hmm. Now, that's the kind of battle that people need to realize. When you put on the armor of God, you put up the helmet of salvation that stands out those fiery darts, and you don't try to stop thinking negative thoughts. That doesn't work. You think upon that which is true and lovely and right.
Very good.
You just keep choosing the truth and just keep choosing it. Now, what happens is we all have it, you know, old habits and old patterns and whatever else, and essentially the flesh is what you try to crucify. Now, you know, I'm talking about stealing, quarreling, jealousy, complaining, sarcasm, you know, lustful thoughts, swearing, all that kind of junk. So we divided this up into 2 steps, and I'm going to spend most of it on the second issue, however, because people will check that off, you know, in more cases than not, you know, they've, you know, have little habits and they deal with these things. But the biggest one, to be honest with you, the biggest entrapment of sin is sexual sins, and it is just about wiping out the world right now. When I wrote our first book on this, I was watching a program of 60 Minutes in the States. It was on adult entertainment, and I didn't want to watch it, but I thought, well, maybe I should. It was, you know, newsworthy kind of stuff. And I actually downloaded a hard copy because I wanted to make sure my figures were right. And this was several years ago, but if you put the word sex in a search engine like Google, you get 180 million hits. Mm-hmm. And 2 years later, I sent that off to England, and our English director did that. I wouldn't. I'd be scared to.
Yeah, indeed.
And he said, well, I changed the number. It's 380 million. When I sent my latest book on this, it's Winning the Battle Within, Well, they actually did it out there. It was right under a billion. And so in 6 years' time, the number of sites or hits that you could get has gone to almost to a billion. It's probably over a billion now.
Yeah,
but
easily.
I just wonder, what in the world are all those sites? I mean, you know, we got a problem here. This is just huge. Can I take just a moment to explain how we've learned to help people get out of this, or at least start the journey out?
Yeah, indeed. I want you to get to that. Just tell me, why do you think this is, why are we so vulnerable in this area, though? Why is this whole area of sexual sin and lust, why are we so vulnerable?
Well, two things, I think. One is that Scripture actually says that every other sin lies outside the body. So it puts it kind of in a class by itself. I mean, I don't know if I can fully explain that. I also know this, that you and I can't create anything. We can't speak and bring something out of nothing into existence. But God allows us to share in one creative act with Him, and that's procreation. And He puts strict guidelines on that thing for a very important purpose. This is just killing marriages, killing families. And just the other day, my son was saying to me, he said, the two greatest evils in this world are pornography and drugs. And I can't argue with him. I think that's true. And I've wondered myself for years, why does this always show up? I mean, just constantly. Every person we would deal with, I mean, bitterness is the biggest one, the most common. But this follows right in his steps. Good grief. I mean, if Satan was manifesting in our presence, he'd be about 95% genital.
Yeah.
It's just keeping people in bondage.
Yeah. And every time we've spoken about this on Open House, we've had people who have called in and said, you know, at first it was just a bit of excitement, and then it took over my life. I can't think about anything else. I can't get my work done. It really does become what we're talking about tonight, bondage. It comes, you start to become bondage. This is Open House, and we were talking to Neil Anderson about spiritual freedom after being caught up in bondage to all sorts of things. Now, you were going to take us then into some directions then as to how to come free of particularly this whole area of lust and sexual bondage. Take us away there.
There's two parts, and I've kind of talked about the first one. One is winning the battle for your mind. But there's a prior issue to that, and it's a very subtle thing. In the book of Romans, chapter 6, is really our emancipation proclamation. It really tells us the basis for freedom and how we have victory over sin and death. And it's all because of our position in Christ, what it really means to be a child of God. And so he describes that. Then he kind of concludes by saying, therefore, consider yourself to be alive in Christ and dead to sin. Do not allow sin to reign, rule in your mortal body. How are you going to do that? Don't use your body as an instrument of unrighteousness.
Mm-hmm.
But present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your body as an instrument of righteousness. Now, you can't commit a sexual sin without using your body as an instrument of unrighteousness. Now, logically, it says if you do that, then what's going to happen is you're going to allow sin to reign, rule in your mortal body. How do we deal with that? And the church probably was told people, you got to confess it. Well, that didn't work, did it? And what they earn is sin, confess, and probably give up after a while cycle.
Mm.
And unfortunately, that describes most of the church today. They never seem to break this cycle, and they just keep falling back into it. And like any addiction, a little now, you know, will bring a high, but you're going to need more later on, and you can't satisfy that lust. The more you feed it, the more it grows. And so we've had people pray and ask the Lord, this is right in their steps, to reveal to their mind every sexual use of their body as an instrument of unrighteousness. And God does. Starts with the first one, typically. And now another important issue in 1 Corinthians 6, it says, don't you know your body is a temple of God? Therefore, don't join yourself to a harlot, lest you become one flesh.
Mm.
Somehow a bonding takes place. And this happens so common, especially with first loves. You have this nice young girl, she gets involved with a sick guy, you know, they have sex, he abuses her, and everybody says, why don't you get rid of the bump? And she doesn't for some reason.
Mm.
She'll hang in there and keep getting abused because, essentially, they bonded.
Mm-hmm.
And so as soon as God brings that to the mind, Lord, I renounce having sex with so-and-so, I ask you to break that sinful bond spiritually, physically, and emotionally. And boy, I kid you not, you talk about a change, and God will bring those names. Now, obviously, this is embarrassing for people. But we're not there to condemn anybody. We're there to help them find their freedom. And then they close that off with a prayer. This is powerfully effective. Why are we urged by the mercies of God to present our bodies to God as a living sacrifice? And if we do that, then the next verse is be transformed by the renewing of your mind. But trying to win this battle of lust or addiction or whatever, trying to win that simply by controlling my thoughts probably won't work. But once you break the bondage, once you actually break that foothold into your life, the entrapment of sin is essentially what it is. You've allowed sin to reign there. Once you've done that, then the process or the ability to renew your mind is almost infinitely different.
And the bondage is broken by the confession in prayer. And I mean, we also must remember also that when you are kind of walking people through these steps, it's often in a very confidential setting. It might be the person that's being prayed for, and then maybe a couple of other people are praying with them. It's very confidential, but also there is a certain sense of confession to other people too. Is that still kind of a key part of this process?
Well, I think that is a powerful thing. And the reason for that is, and historically the church has done this, is if somebody would go in, you know, say to a Catholic church, you know, centuries ago or whatever else, and confess their sins, the confessional was not a place to instruct them or anything else. It was to provide them the assurance of God's pardoning grace. Mm. That was the major reason for them to have that. And that's what we do. We just say, I just want you to know, God loves you and God has forgiven you. And now, go and sin no more, kind of is the concept behind it. Let me illustrate this way. Suppose there's a talking dog on the other side of the door, and the dog says, come on, man, let me in. You know you want to do it, everybody's doing it, and you'll get away with it. So you open the door, and the dog comes in and glonks onto your leg. Now, if you could see that picture, who would you beat on? I'd beat on that dog. But most of us don't see the picture, so we beat on ourselves. Mm-hmm. And we say, because on the other side of the door is the tempter, but as soon as you give in to the tempter, he becomes the accuser. You open the door, and you go, oh, God, forgive me. Guess what God does? Actually, you're already forgiven. You mean I don't have to confess? Oh, yes, because confession essentially is agreeing with God. Mm-hmm. Now, confession would say, God, I opened the door. But is that enough? No, the stupid dog is still there, and the door is still open. Mm-hmm. Now, you just submitted to God. What's the next step? Resist the devil, and he'll leave you, and go back and close that door. Now, what do I mean by close the door? Get rid of the pornography. Turn off the computer if you have to. Tell that girl that you're going to have an affair with, it's over. Get rid of the pot. Get rid of the drugs. Get rid of your stash, your emergency kits. If you don't do those kind of things, you are just going to put yourself in undue temptation and fall back again. So you've got to close the door. And that's a very important process for an awful lot of people. You can't sit around where people are smoking pot and not think you're not going to do it.
Yeah.
Don't be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Yeah. And so there are certain places that are off limits for you for a while. So to me, repentance is what God calls for, not just confession. Genuine repentance says, you know, I believe that. I went that way. I'm closing that door. I'm acknowledging that. I'm submitting to God, and I'm resisting the devil because sin is been entrapped. Where does sin wage war, according to James? In your members. It's in your physical body. Mm. And so that's why we're urged by God to present our bodies to him as a living, not a dead, a living sacrifice.
Yes.
A reasonable service of worship. And when we do that, then the whole process of renewing your mind is so much easier.
Yes. Well, a number of people listening to us will be able to say amen to all of what you're saying because they've actually experienced that. They've experienced the bondage. And we pray also they'll experience the freedom as well. All right, we'll catch up for one more time, this time next week, Neil, and wrap up this series on the 7 Steps for Freedom. Thanks, Neil.
Great, looking forward to it.
Yeah, we'll talk then. Neil Anderson, the Director of Freedom in Christ Ministries, the website ficm.org, Freedom in Christ Ministries, ficm.org. Those 7 steps, we'll finish up the series next week looking at blessings and cursings.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology. To hear more from Open House, visit openhouseonline.com.au.